This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Our fourth and final hour begins here on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I am Ben Stevens. Here's what we have in store in this final hour. Plenty more football talk, getting you ready for 2026 in both the National Football League following the end of week one in the preseason, and we're under 2 weeks away from the start of 2026 in college football. We will make sure that you have everything you need to know for a new college football season. We'll talk some Heisman Trophy odds as we have throughout this show. We will also break down what has happened on this Sunday in Major League Baseball with one more game that still needs to go final. In Houston, it's Sunday night baseball between divisional foes, the Mariners and the Astros. Seattle has added a run on, something we have not been able to say many times this year, of which we were able to say a ton last year. Cal Raleigh has hit a home run, just the 13th this season for Big Dumper. It is part of the reason Seattle has been a disappointment this year. They have scored the fewest runs in Major League Baseball entering this Sunday. I think at last check, that tally was 486 in total. And after a near AL MVP season last year for Big Dumper in Cal Raleigh, it has been anything but this season. But he does power one deep in Houston to add some insurance for his M's. The Mariners now lead 3-1. Brian Wu has been sensational in this game. Only one earned on two hits in five innings of work. Hunter Brown now done for Houston, by the way. He started five innings, two earned, five walks, five free passes, which led to 90 pitches in only five innings. And in that game, or in the sixth inning, the Astros go to the bullpen and Cal Raleigh takes advantage. Brian Wu, two hits, one earned. It was a solo shot to Jeremy Pena to lead off the fourth inning for Houston. That's the lone offense for the Astros today. That's what we have in Sunday night baseball. Live total back up to 7.5. The under has the juice at -159. Seattle is a -345 live money line favorite as we head to the home half of the sixth. Again, Houston was a -119 money line favorite entering this game on Sunday night baseball. It's now a hefty plus money price at +288. We are also going to talk to Greg Peterson in this final hour. You know him as Hoops. This time of year, he's better known as Diamonds, the baseball betting show. He will give us an early look at what he is already keeping an eye on for the Monday slate in Major League Baseball as the lines are trickling out, and then some really good series to start this week around MLB. Again, we've got less than 40 games remaining for every team around the bigs. We basically got a month and a half in this regular season. Both wild card races are tightly contested, especially for the final few spots in Major League Baseball. How the rest of the postseason bracket is going to look. Divisional chases, certainly front and center here. Greg will join us at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, bottom of this hour, to give you those early looks and leans for a Monday card in MLB. You can see it here. I'm in Los Angeles. The sun is shining. It is a beautiful mid-August day in L.A. as we near now 6 p.m. Pacific. It has not been the sun shining very kindly on the Los Angeles Dodgers the last few weeks. Yes, they swept the Kansas City Royals at home, but they just lost 3 of 4 against the Milwaukee Brewers in what was the most significant series for Los Angeles in quite some time. They lose today in the series finale at the Ravine 6-2. It was the third start in a Dodger uniform for Tarek Skubal. He wasn't bad. Six innings of work, two runs scored by Milwaukee against him, only one of them earned, two free passes, ended with seven Ks, threw 107 pitches, and because of it, had to exit after only six. Skubal critical of that outing post-game in the Dodger clubhouse, saying it's not good enough. It is not two-time AL Cy Young worthy stuff. And Skubal's correct. The Dodgers making the investment at the trade deadline in the blockbuster deal for Skubal to bring him to LA. He has not necessarily looked like a Cy Young pitcher. He has been serviceable. He has given the Dodgers opportunities to win. LA has failed to take advantage. Milwaukee has, with the four-run win today, and the Brewers were a hefty underdog with Logan Henderson getting the start. He was brilliant. One earned for him during his time in this game, I believe, in six innings of work. Let's check the final tally for Logan Henderson and winning his seventh game of the year. Seven innings of work for Henderson, only a single earned run, three hits, six Ks. The one run that he allowed against Los Angeles came courtesy of a Max Muncy solo home run in the bottom of the fourth. It tied the game at that juncture. The Dodgers would lose the lead because Jake Bowers continues to rip. He was sensational at the dish today for the Brew Crew. I believe he finishes 4-for-4 with a double, a couple of singles, and 2 RBIs. All of that is noteworthy because in the performance for Logan Henderson, the Dodgers really in the last 3 weeks have not been the offensive team that was the best in baseball with the lineup that should be the best offensive lineup in baseball had looked through the end of July. On July 30th, ahead of their series against the Boston Red Sox that has really started some of these losing ways for LA. I believe if I'm doing the tally correct now, after the sweep of the Royals that got them, it's a 5-11 record for Los Angeles since July 30th, and the series started against the Red Sox. They had the best WRC plus in the sport, the best team batting average as a club in the sport. They had the highest slugging percentage, only behind the Washington Nationals in all of Major League Baseball. But since then, entering today, it's been an 88 WRC plus for LA. The number was 113. That was the best in the bigs. Entering this Sunday finale, of which they were only able to muster up 2 runs, it was an 88 WRC plus for LA. That is 20th in Major League Baseball. That is 11th worst among the bigs. It has been a struggle, of which Dave Roberts, who was clearly peeved after this loss, highlighted. For the last 4, 5, 6 weeks, we have been below average. And being below average is not something this Dodger team can afford to do in a chase for history. It's the middle of August. Milwaukee with a 4-run win now has a 2.5-game lead atop the National League, 2.5 in front of Atlanta, 3 games ahead of the Los Angeles Dodgers, in courtesy of winning 3 of 4 this weekend, courtesy of taking the Sunday finale in downtown LA against the Dodgers. Milwaukee has won 4 of 7 this season. They have that tiebreaker against Los Angeles, should these two teams with a 3-game window between them and with the same record this year. The Braves will play both the Brewers and the Dodgers before this year is through. In fact, Atlanta will play Milwaukee next weekend, including in a game a week from right now that will be the Little League Classic, the game in Williamsport between the Brewers and the Braves, and then Atlanta immediately plays the Dodgers after that. So a very critical stretch in terms of National League postseason positioning in the next week and a half or so in Major League Baseball. But a tremendous weekend for the Brewers, getting starts out of guys over the weekend in Jacob Mizorowski and Logan Henderson that were absolutely necessary in the offense, courtesy of Jake Bowers, who has been the best bat for this Brewers team all year long, continuing to deliver. The Dodgers go home this weekend, and they will stay at least at home tonight before they head to Colorado tomorrow with more questions than answers at this juncture. I do want to update the future prices in Major League Baseball. The Dodgers, after the acquisition of Tarek Skubal for the first time this year, flipped to minus money to win the National League pennant. Not strong minus money, not minus 150 or minus 200, but minus 110. They are not going to be hosting the NLDS at this current moment if the season were to end today. They would have to go on the road to either Atlanta or Milwaukee, the two teams in the top 2 spots in the National League that would earn the opening round bye past the wild card and have the home field advantage. The Dodgers still in slight minus money at minus 105. But again, I think this weekend and really the last 3 weeks for Los Angeles has shown some weaknesses for this Dodger club. And for many around Major League Baseball, they are probably celebrating that very fact as the Dodgers have become the evil empire. Empires can shut down a lot by winning and by showing dominance. The Dodgers have failed to do so. October is on the horizon, about a month and a half away. But there is a lot to figure out in the final month and a half or so of this regular season around MLB. The Dodgers still a large lead in the National League West, 7 games at this juncture in front of the San Diego Padres, but the Padres are playing brilliant baseball. They are 17-5, basically since the first week after the All-Star break, in which San Diego lost 5 of its first 7 in the second half. 17-5 since. They take the finale today, blanking the Guardians in Cleveland 5-0. The Arizona Diamondbacks were going for a road sweep this weekend in Atlanta against the Braves. The Braves win the finale today 5-3. The Cubbies get pummeled at home 11-4 by the Cardinals, but Chicago, 5 games back of Milwaukee in the National League Central, still in the top spot in the National League. Arizona a game behind both Philadelphia, who won its series finale against Minnesota today, and San Diego for what would be the second or third wild card spot in the NL. The Baltimore Orioles, winners of three in a row in Tampa, they will also play a series finale on a Monday to end out a rare four-game weekend set that continues to Monday. Line is out, by the way. Shane McClanahan, the starter for the Rays, minus 163, the favorite for Tampa. They are hoping McClanahan can avoid a four-game sweep at the hand of the O's, who are now in the third American League wildcard spot by a half game. Let's not forget, the Rays entered this homestand against Baltimore, winners of nine in a row, their second nine-game win streak of this season. So that's where we stand right now around Major League Baseball. We will get you caught up on everything you need to know for football season, because football season is basically here. Week zero of college football, under 2 weeks away. The NFL regular season, right behind it. Now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro today and get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and the best bets from VSiN's top analysts. And that's just the start. You'll get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, real 24 and live 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. In the college football betting guide, I've given you a few plays on the show today, like New Mexico to win the Mountain West. I also highlight why Jaden Maiava at 25-1 would be a good bet to win the Heisman Trophy. Let's talk some Heisman odds up next on Live Bet Sunday.
Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Live Bet Sunday right here on VSiN, the sports betting network. We've got a one-run game in Houston. The Astros are still staying in it against the Seattle Mariners on Sunday night. Baseball, our final game of this weekend in MLB. The Mariners jumped in front early. Randy Arozarena, solo shot in the top of the first, followed by a Dominic Canzone RBI single in the top of the third. Jeremy Pena homers in the bottom of the fourth. Cal Raleigh answers with his 13th home run of this year in the top of the seventh. And then the Astros respond in the bottom of the sixth inning. Nick Allen, a solo shot, just his second this season. It is a 3-2 game. So 3-2, top seven. The Astros were a minus 119 moneyline favorite entering. It is now a minus 259 price in favor of the Mariners. Total, 7.5, which is where it was pregame. Some juice on the under. Again, Houston clawing their way back into this game. Pregame total was 7.5. That's where it remains. But, of course, the big story is Seattle up by one with three more frames to go as that strong live money line favorite. Can the Astros come back? They have been the third best team in the American League since the All-Star break with a 16-10 mark. The Mariners have been the third worst team in the American League post All-Star break at 10-17. A Houston victory, the Astros have a three-game lead in the American League West. A Seattle win, the Astros have just a two-game lead in the American League West, and the Mariners would only be 2.5 back of the third and final wildcard spot in the AL. We are under 2 weeks away from week zero in college football. Two Saturdays from now, Saturday, August 29th. It starts with the Dublin debut for Bill Belichick and his Tar Heels against Sonny Dykeson, his Horned Frogs of TCU, out in Dublin, Ireland. It is the first game of this year, noon Eastern time, Saturday, August 29th. As we continue to go through that week zero slate, we're going to see Virginia and NC State square off. Bo Prabula takes the reins of Tony Elliott's offense in Charlottesville for the Cavaliers. They will take on NC State with a returning quarterback, C.J. Bailey, who was a freshman last year, who stands at 6'6", and many are a believer in his talent. Many are betting NC State to win that game against Virginia. It's a 5.5-point spread in favor of the Hoos. That game was supposed to be played in Brazil. It'll be played on campus in Charlottesville instead. There was also a game starting at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, following that Irish opener between TCU and North Carolina at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum in downtown L.A. It'll feature Lincoln Riley and his USC Trojans. The Trojans, a hefty favorite in that game, more than 5 touchdowns. I believe the number, as I see it, is 38.5. USC takes on San Jose State. Trojans, Spartans, some Greek mythology in there as well. USC will have a returning quarterback for a second straight year in Jaden Maiava, who also started the final 4 games or so of 2024. He has a lot of experience in this Lincoln Riley system. 9 starters return for SC on the offensive side of the football. It is the most in all of the sport. In fact, 15 returning starters for the Trojans this year is the most at the FBS level. Of our 138 programs, nobody returns more starts than USC entering 2026. In the college football betting guide, I lay this out, but I will do it for you here on Live Bet Sunday as well. There is the Heisman Trophy track record of Lincoln Riley. Baker Mayfield won it. Kyler Murray won it. Caleb Williams at USC won it. Jalen Hurts was a finalist. If you play quarterback for Lincoln Riley in his 9 years now as a college football head coach, about to enter year 9, in his 8 years as a college football head coach, his scoring offenses is ranked top 15 in 7 of those 8 years. They put up points. They put up productions. They put up offensive firepower. If you play quarterback for Lincoln Riley, the numbers are going to be there. Jaden Maiava last year, 3,711 passing yards, the 5th most nationally in college football. He had the highest QBR in the sport, according to ESPN. That returns in LA this year. And at a 25-1 number, in a make-or-break season for Lincoln Riley, where the seat will get very warm, very, very warm come January, if USC is not playing in the college football playoff. I believe the Trojans have the tools. I believe Jaden Maiava is the quarterback to do it, to guide USC to 10 wins. Now, USC has a very difficult schedule, but I still think the talent on this Trojans roster can get them to 10-2. If USC is 10-2, they're going to play in the CFP. If USC is playing in the college football playoff, Jaden Maiava will be in serious Heisman Trophy consideration. The 25-1 price on USC's starting QB, I think, is worth a sprinkle. As we look at the Heisman Trophy odds, it's a very similar theme each and every year. There are Heisman Trophy favorites. There are quarterbacks that we expect to excel in a college football season, and because of that, be a very high draft pick in the National Football League that following April. It is no different this year once again, as Arch Manning was the favorite last year. Arch Manning has the second best price this year at plus 750. Arch Manning down the stretch in the final month of the Longhorns 2025 season very much lived up to the billing of all of the Arch anticipation of this time last season, of which he struggled early. But he is not the favorite. It is Notre Dame's quarterback in CJ Carr. Normally, you don't think quarterback Notre Dame necessarily going to light the world on fire to put up the offensive stats necessary to really be in Heisman consideration. Maybe team success, of which Notre Dame should see in 2026, but not necessarily the offensive prowess. Going to be a different story this year in South Bend. If all the reports about all the talent that Notre Dame possesses and what this offense is looking like throughout fall camp under offensive coordinator Mike Denbrock, led by CJ Carr at that 7-1 number, he is justifiably the Heisman Trophy favorite. This is going to be a different Notre Dame offense against a very favorable path that I think has the ability to average around 38 to 40 points per game. CJ Carr, if all goes according to plan in South Bend, and Notre Dame takes advantage going over their win total of 11.5, which would be a perfect 12-0 season, but even if they go slightly under, and the juice is definitely on the under for the Irish, and they finish with 11 wins, Notre Dame is going to be in the college football playoff. CJ Carr will be right there. Arch Manning, we'll see if he can produce once again for Texas. What about Dante Moore at Oregon? There are many in the college football betting guide on VSiN around the college football landscape getting ready for this new year that are predicting the Oregon Ducks are going to win a national championship in 2026. It would continue a trend in the Big Ten Conference. Three consecutive national titles, three different programs doing so. Michigan in 2023, Ohio State in 2024, Indiana in 2025. If it is going to be a fourth in 4 years for the Big Ten Conference and a fourth different program that climbs the pinnacle of this sport, many are pointing at Oregon to finally get the job done. 48-8 is the record for Dan Lanning in his 4 years at the helm in Eugene. Seven of those eight losses have come against a team that has either won a national championship or played in that year's national title game. Dante Moore is back with a brilliant cast and crew around him, both in the backfield with a guy that was very much in the news this week in Jordan Davison, the big bruiser for Oregon. There were some reports he was facing a significant injury at fall camp. He was out there at practice. D'Air Hill Jr. joining him in that backfield, more of your speed option. And one of the best, if not the best, receiving cores in the Big Ten, led by Evan Stewart and DeCornian Moore. Oregon has all of the things in place to make that championship and thus Dante Moore's Heisman Trophy run. If I was going to look outside of the top three, outside of the name that I have given you, in Jaden Maiava, I would go a little bit deeper down the board. And there is a name at 20-1, Sam Levitt, not that deep down the board, but down the board, 20-1 for Sam Levitt, that I do believe presents some value, the quarterback under Lane Kiffin. I think LSU is going to go over their win total of 8.5 this year. I think LSU has, at least by SEC standards, a favorable schedule to win at least 9 games. And I do think LSU and the Bayou Bengals are capable of doing that. Much like the same story with Lincoln Riley, if you are playing QB for Lane Kiffin, the numbers are going to be there. And I do believe Sam Levitt possesses everything that you would want to get the job done. It is a really, really stacked quarterback class this year all around college football. We do it each and every year, but I think you could really go up and down the Heisman Trophy odds and spot the first 12, 13, 14 quarterbacks and make an assessment for them. Will Hammond at Texas Tech, after the Brendan Sorsby drama, I actually think Hammond's a great quarterback. He's got a 40-1 price. Byron Brown following Alex Golish, a bright offensive mind, to Auburn, 50-1. And there is a name that I think will not be at 55-1 by the time November rolls. It's Damon Williams Jr., the quarterback for the Huskies that had a precarious start to this offseason, reaffirmed his commitment in Seattle, then wanted to hit the transfer portal, and then within 48 hours after some threatening litigation, back to lead this Washington team. All reports is that they have figured it out in Seattle. And under Jed Fish, I think Damon Williams Jr., one of the most spectacular players at the quarterback position, puts it together this year. Jaden Maiava, 25-1. Sam Levitt, maybe at 20-1. Damon Williams Jr. at 55-1. That's how I read the Heisman Trophy odds for 2026. On the other side of the break, back to baseball with the man that hosts the baseball betting show here on VSiN. Greg Peterson joins us to look at the early slate for Monday in the bigs. That's next year on Live Bet Sunday.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We welcome you back to Live Bet Sunday right here on VSiN. We've got one Major League Baseball game coming to a close shortly. It is Sunday Night Baseball in Houston as we stretch and head to the bottom of the seventh. The Mariners maintain their lead. It is only one, but it's 3-2. Seattle is in front. The Astros were a slight home favorite with Hunter Brown getting the start, minus 119. Seattle, the current favorite, minus 227. The Astros will have last licks. 5 runs scored so far, 7.5 that live total. Hefty juice on the under. It is minus 198. But just because baseball is about to be done for this weekend doesn't mean we can't take an early look and get those early edges for the Monday MLB slate. We do that now on the Progressive Guest Line with the one, the only, Greg Peterson, host of the Baseball Betting Show right here on VSiN. You see him breaking down Major League Baseball up and down the board each and every day. On VSiN, on shows, written work as well. Greg, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here on this Sunday night.
Always fun, my friend. We are getting into the home stretch for baseball, and it's a great time because so many people are focusing on football, but still so many great edges out there on the diamond.
Yeah, there are so many great edges, and Greg, there's a great series that will continue past the weekend, the rare 4-game weekend set in Tampa between the Rays and the Orioles. Tampa, the best team in the American League, entered this weekend riding their second 9-game win streak of the year, but they've now lost 3 in a row. The Orioles have taken all 3 of the first of these 4 games at the Trop this weekend, and because of it, Baltimore now has a half-game lead for the third and final American League wildcard spot. They play each other early first pitch scheduled tomorrow just after 6 p.m. Eastern time. The line is out. Shane McClanahan gets the start for the Rays. They're a minus 163 favorite. Brandon Young on the other side for Baltimore. Greg, total is 8 here early. What's your approach to the fourth and final game, the series finale between the O's and the Rays?
I have been finding value on the Orioles all weekend long, and I think that it lasts into Monday. Brandon Young has been really good here for the Orioles, even though he pitches quite a bit of contact. Only about 7.4 strikeouts per 9 innings, but has kept the ball in the yard, giving up 1 home run per 9 innings. And for Shane McClanahan, you have to be fearful of the length that he's going to be able to give. He only went 3 innings in his minor league rehab start. This is going to be his first start at the big league level since July 30th, as he had a little bit of an injured list in. And for Freddie Peralta, did not make it through 5 innings in that start on Sunday. And Rays bullpen has been a little bit shaky. Feels like the Orioles, ever since the trade deadline, they've been able to get a bit more of something out of that lineup. Moving Pete Alonso up seems to be really working for them. This is a total I'm seeing between 7.5 to 8. Personally, try to get a 7.5 if at all possible, but even on the 8, do like the over. And I'm taking plus money here again on the Orioles. Love the way this team is rolling right now.
And they are rolling. Again, a half-game lead somehow, some way for that third and final American League wildcard spot. If the season ended today, we still have a month and a half. But if it did, all 3 teams that would earn a wildcard spot in the American League postseason out of the AL East. And that doesn't even include the Rays, who, of course, have a substantial lead in this division. Elsewhere, Greg, as we get ready for Monday, we're in the home stretch of this regular season, just over a month and a half. But just because teams are bad does not mean you cannot bet on said baseball teams. Nolan McClain gets the start tomorrow for the New York Mets. It's Walker Buehler on the other side for San Diego. The Padres have been lights out post All-Star break. But as the Mets are a slight favorite at Citi Field tomorrow against the Pods, what's your read here?
And how about the Mets offense coming to light? Ever since Juan Soto has been out of the fold, it's now been 21 games without him. They're averaging 4.05 runs per game prior to the injury, about 4.85 runs per game since then. And Nolan McClain, he's been relatively solid this year. 10.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. He does have a higher ERA at home rather than away from home. 4.15 at home, closer to about 2.75 away from home. But now you've got a guy, Walker Buehler, that if you look at the 4.26 fielding, depending compared to the 4.88 ERA, it points towards positivity. He's been shaky away from home, though. Over a 5 ERA, he's been not getting as much swing and miss here in the back half of the season. For the Padres, a very rock-solid bullpen. I will say this. For the Padres, you want to talk about an offense that has turned it around. About 5.3 runs per game since the All-Star break. That is a top-5 mark in all of baseball. I feel like that 8 total is a little bit too low. I like the over, and Mets are playing some serious spoiler right now. I think that they get the job done here. I like them on the money line.
The Padres 19-10 since the All-Star break, despite dropping 5 of their first 7. They have won 17-5 since then. It's tied for the best record, Greg, in the National League post-All-Star break alongside the Atlanta Braves. It's the Braves and the Twins, a part of the Monday card in Major League Baseball. What's the play here?
I took the 8.5 to the over because I do think that Martin Perez, who's giving you a sub-3 ERA, he's going to see a little bit of regression. He's only getting about 6.8 strikeouts, 3.5 walks per 9 innings, but I still back the Braves at a short price, minus 120 on the money line, mainly because Bailey Ober, I think they should replace a B with a V. He's been helping a lot of teams get over their run total because he's only getting 6.1 strikeouts per 9 innings. That is a career low for him, giving up 1.5 home runs per 9 innings, and this is still a Twins bullpen that is so shaky. They do pick up A.J. Minter at the trade deadline. They did revamp things a little bit with Jeff Hoffman coming in as well, but still have to have a lot of question mark there coming off of a rough series against the Philadelphia Phillies. And for the Braves, this continues to be a top-7 offense in terms of run creation. Matt Olson is now up to either 36 or 37 home runs. Ronald Acuna Jr. has looked good since coming off the injury list. And then the Braves are second in the National League in terms of bullpen ERA as well. So even though I think that Martin Perez experiences some regression here, I like the Braves on the money line and that 8.5 total to the over.
Greg Peterson live right here on Live Bet Sunday on the Progressive Guest Line, getting you ready with the early look at the Monday MLB card in baseball. Greg, my favorite game of the Monday slate should be a great rivalry series this week. It's the White Sox. It's the Cubs. It's the North versus the South side this week on the North side at Wrigley Field inside the friendly confines. The White Sox have a 5.5 game lead atop the American League Central. The Cubbies trail in the National League Central to the Brewers by 5 games, but have the better record overall. Minus 172, the price for the Cubs tomorrow, with Shota Imanaga making the start. The newly acquired Luis Castillo gets the nod for the Southsiders tomorrow night. What's the approach here between these two Chicago clubs?
And the White Sox have had very demonstrative home and road splits this season, but how about them coming off that sweep against the Detroit Tigers? I really like the form that they're in. And for Luis Castillo, you look at the overall season numbers, not great. Giving up between 1.3 to 1.4 home runs per 9 innings. Maybe a change of scenery is exactly what he needed, though. He had 10 strikeouts, 6 shutout innings against the Cincinnati Reds in his last start. Meanwhile, for Shota Imanaga, he's been very shaky here recently, especially with the deep ball. Last 14 starts giving up over 2.2 home runs per 9 innings. Now, both pitchers should benefit from the wind blowing in. Should be about like 6 to 8 miles per hour. So not like it's demonstrative super gusting winds, but still enough to be able to help out these pitchers. And for the White Sox, ever since June 1st, they've been a top 8 team in terms of bullpen ERA. They have been significantly better there. They pick up Oscar Brisbane at the trade deadline as well. So I'm going to take the plus money here with the White Sox on the money line. And with that total, I'm seeing anywhere between 8 to 8.5. It always adjusts a little bit overnight, but anything of an 8 or higher, I do like the under.
Yeah, 8.5 right now, the listed number on DraftKings. Juice on the under at around a minus 119 price. Greg Peterson here on the Progressive Guest Line. And Greg, the Cubbies, of course, are going to be a playoff team, probably in the top spot in the National League wild card standing. Still trail the Brewers by 5 games. It was a game that we were focused on in the opening hour of our time on Live Bet Sunday. Dodgers, Brewers, how significant this Sunday finale was at the Ravine. Milwaukee wins 6-2. Getting the better of Tarek Skubal in his third start as a Dodger. Milwaukee now has the tiebreak on the LA Dodgers if the season were to end today. The Dodgers are still the favorites to win the National League pennant, minus 105. The Brewers have the second best price, plus 475. The Braves, 5-1. The Cubs, plus 650. The Phillies, 11-1. We have highlighted how great the Padres have been in the last 3 weeks or so. Who do you believe is the toughest test for the Dodgers in the National League that if somebody's going to knock them off their perch of winning a third consecutive pennant, you'd point to this team?
I still feel like it might be the Philadelphia Phillies because it's a top-heavy team, but you want top-heaviness if you're going to be in a 5 or 7-game series. When you're able to throw out their Zach Wheeler, when you're able to throw out their Christopher Sanchez, Jesus Luzardo as your top 3 guys, that's something that's really hard to match up with. And if you need a big hit, Kyle Schwarber, we saw him in the Field of Dreams game, hit a pair of Schwar bombs. He's up to over 35 home runs. Bryce Harper, he's had some big hits throughout his career as well. I would be looking at the Phillies because even though the Brewers have the better record, I'm still a little bit off put that they did not add a bat at the trade deadline. I think that that's going to be costly moving forward.
Jake Bauer's great this weekend in Los Angeles, but Greg's point is sound. They are going to need pitching performances from Jacob Mizorowski and Logan Henderson basically to win the day. Sanchez will start tomorrow at home against the Marlins. Greg, he was a little bit shaky around the All-Star game and the All-Star break. Has a 1.06 ERA in 3 starts here in the month of August. Greg Peterson, host of the Baseball Betting Show right here on VSiN, already getting you ready for the Monday slate in Major League Baseball, even late on a Sunday evening. Greg, appreciate the time as always. Thanks for being here.
Ben, always appreciate you. And Christopher Sanchez, 1.41 ERA at home this year as well. I took him on the run line.
Yep, I think it's a very smart play. It's early. It's why Greg is among the best. There's like 8 games listed currently for Major League Baseball on Monday that have numbers associated. Greg just basically gave you a play on 6 of the 8. Plenty more as we round out Live Bet Sunday up next.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A few more minutes to go here on Live Bet Sunday, and one final Major League Baseball game on this Sunday night that needs to come to a close as well. Bottom of the 8th begins in Houston between the Astros and the Mariners. A 3-2 lead for the M's with the Astros at the dish. A really good outing once more for Brian Wu, who has had a down season following All-Star recognition in 2025, but has been really good in the month of August. Three starts and now only two earned allowed in 18 innings. Going six innings in each of his three starts. Tonight, just three base knocks, two earned, courtesy of two solo home runs. And both of the guys that hit a home run are up at the dish this inning. Right now, as Seattle begins in the bottom of the eighth, it is going to be facing off. I thought they were going to have Nick Allen out there, who hit a solo home run. He's being pinch hit for at the bottom of this lineup. Jeremy Pena, the leadoff hitter for Houston tonight, who hit a solo home run to get the scoring started in the fourth for the Astros, will be up in the on-deck circle. 3-2, the lead for Seattle as we speak. 6.5 is the total. Down by a run from the pregame number of 7.5. Again, Seattle was the underdog entering. They are the hefty favorite live at minus 276. If you believe the Astros can come back and win this game, it is plus 234 on that money line. Again, the plus 234 price for the Scros as the underdog. They will have at least six more at-bats in this baseball game to try to come back and knock off the Mariners. Seattle has been a disappointing team post-All-Star break. Houston has been an awesome team post-All-Star break. 16-10, the record for the Scros, third best in the American League. Seattle wins this game. They're 2.5 out of an American League wild card spot. And the Astros only have a two-game lead in the American League West. Houston wins. That's a three-game advantage over the Texas Rangers. Houston would be in a very comfortable position to win yet another divisional crown in the AL West. Greg Peterson was just here breaking down the Major League Baseball slate for a Monday. I will do much of the same. I really love what Greg had to say about the Chicago series that is about to begin between the White Sox and the Cubs. If you could go back in time to early March and would have predicted that here in the middle of August, this would be a showdown between a team in first place and in second place in their division, we would have said you were crazy. The White Sox are probably going to finish in the cellar of the American League Central. It's the White Sox with a 5.5 game lead for the top spot in the AL Central. And in the other Central, it's the Cubs that trail the Brewers by 5 games. The Cubbies, even though they lost the weekend at home in Wrigley to their rivals in the St. Louis Cardinals, about to begin another rivalry series in less than 24 hours, still have 72 wins this year, still very comfortably in the top spot of the National League wild card standings. 8.5 the total on DraftKings. The under has a tad bit of juice. Greg laid it out for you, the under 8. Luis Castillo has been good as a White Sox. He has not been great overall this year. I still trust him in what he can do tomorrow night. And Shota Imanaga has been pretty sound this year as well. If he can avoid the fly ball and the deep ball against a team in the White Sox that has been slugging with the best of them all year long, Miggy Vargas, an American League All-Star, Munetaka Murakami in his debut year in Major League Baseball has been sensational. Colson Montgomery, who has been awesome. Brandon Montgomery, the rookie, has been great for this Chicago team. When you say things about White Sox baseball in 2026, they should be flattering statements, especially offensively. We'll see what the White Sox have when October rolls around. If the pitching staff that will probably be anchored by Castillo and Davis Martin and Sean Burke and others is enough to win you a postseason series or even a couple of playoff games. That remains to be seen. In the regular season, a really great game tomorrow night at Wrigley Field. 7:05 p.m. Central Time, 8:05 p.m. Eastern. Blake Snell makes his second start of this return, his third start of the season, his second start basically in the last 3 months as the Dodgers now hit the road to take on the Rockies. It has not been a kind stretch to the Dodgers that since the start of their series against the Red Sox, following losing this weekend in a four-game set, dropping 3-4 to Milwaukee, are 5-11. The Dodgers continue 13 games in 13 days. They will do so tomorrow, quickly flipping on getaway day to get out to Coors Field. This has been a stagnant Dodgers offense as of late, at least comparatively, and certainly to what we expect out of this LA offensive lineup. A 113 WRC plus entering that series against Boston since the start of that series on a Friday night in 88 WRC plus. The Dodgers only able to plate two today against the Brewers, two solo shots and one from Andy Páez in the ninth that was rather non-consequential by the time we reached that juncture. You see the total for tomorrow in Denver. It's 11. If there was ever a place, if there was ever a team for the Dodgers to break out of this slight offensive slump, it would be at Coors Field. We'll see if that will be the case for LA. Nearly a dollar or $2, $2.5 favorite. It's minus 249 on DraftKings. You see the price right there at minus 240. Blake Snell was brilliant in his first Dodgers start since May 9th, last week at home against the Kansas City Royals. Struck out the side in his return. 10 punchouts is what Blake Snell had. If that continues tomorrow for LA on the road and the offense picks it up, at least the Dodgers can stack a few wins because it has not been an easy time for LA. Nobody is taking pity on a Dodger team with the highest payroll in the sport, on a Dodger team that has won two consecutive World Series. I thought Greg made a really good point, by the way, about the matchup at Citi Field between the Mets and the Padres. Nolan McClain has been awesome this year for the Amazons. In a year that has not been amazing up in Queens, Nolan McClain has been one of the bright spots. And this Mets offense is fighting right now. We have said very kind things about the Padres in these 4 hours here on Live Bet Sunday. 5 of 7 in the loss column post All-Star break to start the second half. 17 of 22 in the win column since, including blanking the Guardians today in Cleveland, 5-0 in their weekend finale. So how in the world would you pick against San Diego? There is a clear pitching advantage tomorrow among those starters on the bump for the New York Mets. It is why they are booked as the favorites. It is why I agree with Greg's point that Nolan McClain and the Mets are worth backing on the money line as we speak late on this Sunday before you get early on a Monday. And a game that will start the Monday slate in Major League Baseball is the fourth and final of an extended weekend series between the Orioles and the Rays. Tampa had won 9 straight before welcoming in Baltimore to the Trop this weekend in St. Pete. The O's have won all 3 of these 4 so far, hoping to make it a 4-game sweep. Not predicted to do that. The market already working towards Shane McClanahan and Tampa. McClanahan has been really good this year for the Rays. It's an interesting Rays October rotation with McClanahan, Nick Martinez, and also Drew Rasmussen in the fold. The Rays are the best team in the American League. They are 5.5 games better than the New York Yankees for that best record for the divisional lead in the American League East, and yet the Rays do not have the best price to win the American League pennant at plus 340. It is the Pinstripes at plus 290. I'm a believer in Tampa. Tomorrow, they are the favorites, but this O's team continues to hit. 8 is your total tomorrow at the Trop. One final check on Sunday Night Baseball before we send you in the rest of your Sunday night here on VSiN. Bottom of the 8th, 2 outs for the Astros, but 2 guys on. Runners on 1st and 2nd for Houston. The Mariners have made a call toward the bullpen. They are trying to get out of this jam and preserve that 1-run lead. It is still minus 298 in favor of Seattle. That if you are reading the live odds, probably an indication that they are in a comfortable spot. There are 2 outs, but there is a runner in scoring position for the Houston Astros with the go-ahead run on 1st. Something to keep in mind. Total 6.5. And I do want to finish with a best bet for you for week 0 of this college football season. I'll be on Live Bet Saturday next week, not here on Live Bet Sunday. So before I go, and on my final Live Bet Sunday appearance, before week 0 of this college football season, total of 47.5 in the FBS debut in the Fargo Dome for North Dakota State. The Bison hosting Jacksonville State. A really good Jacksonville State team that has been predicated often on the ground. We talked about Cam Cook earlier with Eric Froton. He is now transferred to West Virginia, where his former head coach, Rich Rodriguez, is now the current head coach. But Charles Kelly is the head coach for Jacksonville State. And last year did not miss a beat in taking over for Rich Rod. They were really sound defensively, really good in running the football. NDSU wants to do a lot of the same. Because I don't think both teams are going to put up a ton of points. And if they are predicated on the run, that clock is going to spin in Fargo, North Dakota. I lean to the under of 47.5 between North Dakota State and Jacksonville State in the week 0 opener in the FBS debut for NDSU. Coming up next, it's Cashing Out with Doug Kazarian right here on VSiN. We'll get some more Week Zero College Football Best Bets from Zach Bigelow and Mick Chalella will also join for some prop bets in Major League Baseball. And then start your week right on a Monday morning on VSiN. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis kick off the morning on VSiN by the books at 7 a.m. Eastern. Then at 10 a.m. it's Gil Anderson and Matt Brown on a numbers game. It's all right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I am Ben Stevens, and with everybody behind the scenes that makes this show go, I say thank you for joining us on Live Bet Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your week.